Hare Krishna. So this morning, with the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, we continue reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 3, the birth of Lord Krishna, text 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Upasamhara Vishvatman. Upasamhara Vishvatman. Adarupam Alaukikam. Adarupam Alaukikam. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Shri Ajustam Chaturbhujam. Shri Ajustam Chaturbhujam. Upasamhara Vishvatman. Adarupam Alaukikam. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Shri Ajustam Chaturbhujam. Please. Upasamhara Vishvatman. Adarupam Alaukikam. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Shri Ajustam Chaturbhujam. Upasamhara Vishvatman. Alaukikam. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Shri Ajustam Chaturbhujam. Upasamhara Vishvatman. Adarupam Alaukikam. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Shri Ajustam Chaturbhujam. Ladies, please. Upasamhara Vishvatman. Adarupam Alaukikam. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Shitam Justam Chaturbhujam. Upasamhara Vishvatman. Adarupam Alaukikam. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Shitam Justam Chaturbhujam. Upasamhara Vishvatma. Adarupam Alaukikam. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Shri Ajustam Chaturbhujam. Upasamhara. Withdraw. Vishvatman. O all pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adaha, that. Rupam, form. Alaukikam, which is unnatural in this world. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, of the conch shell, disc, club, and lotus. Shriya, with these opulences. Dushtam, decorated. Chaturbhujam, four hands. Translation prepared by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. O my Lord, You are the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your transcendental four-armed form holding conch shell, disc, club and lotus is unnatural for this world. Please withdraw this form and become just like a natural human child so that I may try to hide you somewhere. Purport. Devaki was thinking of hiding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not handing him over to Kamsa as she had all her previous children. Although Vasudev had promised to hand over every child to Kamsa, this time he wanted to break his promise and hide the child somewhere. But because of the Lord's appearance in this surprising four-armed form, he would be impossible to hide. Upasamhara Vishvatman Ado Rupam Alokikam Shankha Chakragada Padma Shiyajustam Chaturbhujam. O my Lord, you are the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your transcendental four-armed form, holding conch shell, disc, club and lotus, is unnatural for this world. Please withdraw this form and become just like a natural human child so that I may try to hide you somewhere. So this is a very interesting verse, and we'll be discussing very interesting and important topic of hiding Krishna from materialistic people, right? Which appears to be completely contradictory to what we are existing for, right? Our whole existence as organization, as any and every sincere devotee is to give Krishna to the whole world, right? How many of you would like to be instrumental in giving Krishna to the whole planet? Okay. But here we're discussing an opposite subject matter, which is hiding Krishna. And of course, in the beginning, it's good to contemplate on Devaki's purpose behind hiding Krishna. And first question which naturally arises is that Devaki already saw that this is the Supreme Lord Vishnu with four divine symbols in his hands, and you know that no child takes birth and immediately appears not only as a grown-up adult but with four hands decorated with ornaments and etc., etc. So it was obviously the Supreme Lord. And as Srila Prabhupada explains, the Supreme Lord showed his divine form so that Devaki would have no doubts that it is the Supreme Lord. And now, after becoming convinced that this is the Supreme Lord Vishnu, why is Devaki still has fear that Kamsa can do something to Krishna? Because who is Kamsa? Just one, tiny little living entity somewhere in the remote corner of the material world, right? I mean, he was quite big. If you read Mahabharata, he was actually a universal demon. He was terrorizing the whole universe. Same like Hiranyakashipu. But what is this universe? This is the smallest universe of all. Therefore, it has Brahma with four heads. Other bigger universes have Brahmas with greater number of heads. And so, naturally, universes are only as big as the pores in the skin of Mahavishnu, who is just a partial manifestation of the Supreme Lord. And so we can imagine that someone like Kamsa is so infinitesimal for the Supreme Lord, that he's, you know, comparing to us, he's even smaller than any bacteria, any microbe, right? And so, you know, how come that Devaki is fearing that Kamsa might kill Krishna? But as we know, this is the activity of Yogamaya, covering potency, that even though Devaki does understand that this is the Supreme Lord, but still she's thinking, oh, I don't want to take any risks. Still, Kamsa might try to kill Krishna. And so I want to hide him. But, as we know, nothing happens without Krishna's desire. And therefore, one of the names of Krishna is Satya Sankalpa, which means that whatever he wants happens as soon as he desires that. And so we can understand that actually he desired that. He desired to change his form. And that's why indirectly through the yoga maya potency he is encouraging Devaki to request him to transform himself into the child who looks like natural for this world with two hands, etc. Looks like a human being because, you know, you wouldn't see human beings with four hands. That's not natural. So she wanted something alaukika, something more fitting for this world so that she would be able to hide Krishna. And it is happening by Krishna's desire. Why? Because he wants to interact with everyone in a free fashion. Because if he looks like a human being, others would not have like fear. Can you imagine someone walking with four hands, holding like club, plus it is blood-stained club from the blood of so many demons killed, and with the chakra, and with, you know, conch and lotus, would you be able to freely come and, you know, ask that person, hi, how are you? What's your name, etc.? You would rather, you know, like walk around that person, you know, make sure that you don't come too close, too near. But Krishna wanted an interaction. This is why he came. He wanted an interaction not only with Devaki and Vasudeva, but with everybody. And we can see that the display of this majestic, or not majestic, divine form with four hands actually impedes even very close devotees of Krishna, such as Arjuna, from freely interacting with him, right? As we know from the chapter, the universal form, chapter 11 of Bhagavad Gita. And so we can understand that this is Krishna's plan. He comes to this world to freely interact with everybody, including Kamsa. If Kamsa would see the divine power of the Supreme Lord, it's quite possible that he wouldn't dare to try and kill him, right? Because it's too obvious that the Supreme Lord is, you know, all-powerful. But Krishna wanted to hide that greatness for the sake of sweetness and for the sake of benefiting everyone, including Kamsa, because even Kamsa, when he was killed, he attained liberation. So Krishna is all-merciful, even to the demons. And therefore, every time Krishna comes, he's, you know, toning down his greatness in order to interact freely with those who live in this material world. And it's very clearly seen, for example, in pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he acted like a human being also. And whenever he was addressed as the Supreme Lord, he would block his ears and he would say, Vishnu, Vishnu, I'm just a living entity, don't call me the Supreme Lord. So he was trying to hide his, conceal his identity as the Supreme Lord for the sake of benefiting everyone and making it easy for everyone to accept Krishna consciousness. And the devotees are following in the same mood, like in Madhya Lila, chapter 1 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is described how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on pilgrimage to go to Vrindavan, and he was passing by the capital of Muslim king Nawab Hussein Shah. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very popular because he is Krishna and he is very attractive. And it's described that wherever he walked, that everyone, huge crowds were rushing behind him, and everyone wanted to have some dust from his feet. So wherever his feet stepped, everyone wanted a pinch of earth from that place. And consequently, there were so many people taking pinches of earth that, you know, the place where he put his lotus foot would turn into like very deep hole. So the whole road was covered with very deep holes because there were like so many people who wanted his mercy. And so he was, you know, surrounded by huge crowds of people. And when Nawab Hussein Shah, he saw that, he said, "This is not an ordinary sannyasi. This must be Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Otherwise, why he attracts everybody so much?" And then he asked his assistant, whose name was Keshava Chatri, "What do you think? Is this Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, this sannyasi?" And Keshava Chatri, being Vaishnava, devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and knowing very well the identity of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he told the king, "Don't worry, he's just an ordinary mendicant. You know, all his, you know, all this excitement about him is vastly exaggerated. He's nothing special. It's just rumors, people just made it up, these rumors." And Srila Prabhupada explains that Keshava Chatri was acting in this diplomatic way because he was afraid that the Muslim king might become enemy of the Supreme Lord. And so he described Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an ordinary personality. And so we can understand that this is very traditional for our Sampradaya, hiding Krishna for the sake of giving Krishna to the whole world. And this is very interesting. One well-known Prabhupada disciple, Abhiram Prabhu, we've spoken to him about few subject matters, and he just related to his experience in, you know, his youth learning martial arts. He's very expert in martial arts, and he said, "One very interesting principle I learned from martial arts is that slow is fast. That if you want to go fast, go slow. Because if you go slow, you make no mistakes." Like that. And so this is our philosophy, actually. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. And this is very important principle for us to understand, that if we want to give Krishna to the whole world, we need to learn to hide Krishna from the world. This, of course, is very surprising, but all our acharyas have done that. I remember when Swavas Prabhu was reading Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, and he came across the passage where it was described how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in order to attract vast numbers of people to Krishna, he arranged a huge festival wherein, you know, there were like karmi musicians, jugglers, you know, different types of entertainers, exhibits of achievements of modern science and technology at that time. And, everybody was there. Everything which could attract people. Even there was display of different, Upa Sampradaya gurus and acharyas, whoever could attract people. So he made this whole big show, which costed a lot of money, I suppose, just to attract vast numbers of people. And right in the middle, there was kirtan and prasadam distribution and preaching Krishna consciousness. And I remember when Swavas Prabhu read it, he was very excited. He was saying, "Oh, this is very smart. How our acharyas, like great acharyas as and very strict ones like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they were always thinking of new ways how to introduce people to Krishna consciousness." Mm. And we know that Srila Prabhupada was ready to do anything and everything to introduce vast numbers of people to Krishna. There is a kind of argument or tension in our society whether we should preach directly or indirectly. And sometimes the supporters of direct preaching, criticize those who introduce indirect preaching ways. And, my spiritual master falls into that category because he is introducing Krishna consciousness through festivals, etc. And he has other indirect methods of introducing Krishna to people. And when he was mentioning that, he's quite heavily criticized for indirect preaching, he said, "These people who criticize, they criticize only because they have no idea of Srila Prabhupada's mentality, Srila Prabhupada's mindset." That Srila Prabhupada was ready to do anything to introduce as many people as possible to Krishna. And one example he gave is related to Russia. That Srila Prabhupada, when he was thinking how to introduce Krishna to Russia, and he was saying, well, Russia is communist country. And so communist means they reject God. And so if we introduce Krishna, because it's known that in India this is the name for God, right? They will not accept. So what we should do, what should be our strategy, is to introduce Krishna book to Russia, but completely remove Krishna's name. That Krishna book would have no Krishna's name, but all the pastimes will be there. And in this way, all people will learn about Krishna, and the authorities will not suspect that this is, it has something to do with God. So can we imagine, to what extent Srila Prabhupada was ready to go? And I still remember, it was not really done, but I still remember that on the cover, Krishna book didn't have Krishna name. The title of that book was The Source of Supreme Pleasure. So, at least from the title, Krishna was removed like that. And so, we know very well that there are so many new ways to introduce Krishna consciousness, like Jhuta Karma Prabhu is introducing Krishna consciousness through science and archaeology, and he's been very, very successful traveling all over the world. So this is how Krishna is giving his devotees intelligence, how to introduce him in new way which is attractive for people. And I know that, you know, many devotees are wondering what is the secret of the growth of Russian yatra, because there are so many Russian people joining in the country, and it's an open secret. I can tell you that people don't join the movement in the past probably couple of decades so much through book distribution or Harinams or other direct preaching methods. Somehow the times have changed. We are living in the 21st century and people think differently. But in Russia, 90%+ of people joining the movement, and they join in great numbers, just because devotees are introducing self-help courses on different subjects. For example, one devotee who is the most successful, he's teaching self-help courses on healthy lifestyle and positive relationships, especially family relationships, all these things. The other devotee is teaching astrology, and quite a big number of devotees, they teach psychology, applied psychology, and they even came together as a group, and they call themselves Psychology 3000, meaning that we live in the third, you know, millennia, and so this is the new beginning for people. And there are so many people joining the movement just because of that, because they've been given something very practical and helpful to change their lives, to help them to shift from the modes of passion and ignorance into the mode of goodness. And from the mode of goodness, as we know, there is only one step to spiritual practices. And so it's just an interesting, you know, example. Actually, I know that Vijay Prabhu, our minister of book distribution, he had interesting experience in Russia, that you know, he was naturally, his, you know, mission is to encourage devotees to do book distribution, and the point he was trying to make, look how many people, practically everybody joins through book distribution. And then there were many Russian devotees sitting there, and he asked them, so please raise your hands. How many of you joined because you received Srila Prabhupada's book? And he expected majority of devotees to raise their hands. And he was very surprised to see that, you know, very few people raised their hands. And he was like, wow, how did you join the movement then? And the answer was through lectures and courses. And only later, through lectures, recordings of lectures, and attending courses. And only later they received Prabhupada's books. And so, I mean, it does not necessarily mean to copy exactly what's happening in the other country, you know, because every country is different. And so interest of people is also different in different countries. But it's definite fact that self-help courses are very popular. Just for the sake of an interest, I attended one such course, and I just went there because I had an opportunity to attend it for free, and I wanted to learn how they present, you know, things there. And of course, it was very professionally done, American style, organized in American style. But the entire course They were teaching different and interesting practical techniques, psychological techniques, but at the end they were saying, now we will reveal you the greatest secret of life. Get ready. And everyone was excited. What is the great secret of life? And then they said, because, you know, this course is based on Buddhist philosophy. And they said, the greatest secret of life, luckily you are sitting, otherwise you would faint upon hearing this. The greatest secret of life is that life is empty and meaningless. And everyone was like, whoa, what a letdown. And they were saying, but if you realize that life is empty and meaningless, then you can fill it with the meaning you want to ascribe to it. Like that. Anyway, and I was thinking, you know, upon hearing that, I was thinking, you know, these people are amazing. Because empty and meaningless means they are selling people empty package, right? There is nothing inside. And they make people, for something empty and meaningless, they make people pay hundreds of dollars. Right? And now, what we have is not nothing, is not even something, it is everything. We have Krishna. We have divine love. We have pure love of God. And how come that we are offering such a valuable product or whatever, such a valuable gift, even free of charge, and people just passing by without taking any interest? So I was thinking it's really important for us to think very, very seriously about how do we repackage Krishna consciousness according to 21st century's demands to make people interested, because, you know, Prabhupada's desire is still there, which is very clearly expressed in the very first purpose of ISKCON, which is to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and teach all people the techniques of spiritual life to check the imbalance of values and attain real unity and peace in the world. So Srila Prabhupada did expect Krishna consciousness not just to be one of many, 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 many religious, you know, groups on the planet, but he did expect Krishna consciousness to become the major driving force behind, you know, global changes in this world. And it's up to us, you know, the responsibility lies with us how to make it happen. All right, so if there are any questions, comments, suggestions, complaints. Yes, Prabhu, microphone.
Thank you for the wonderful class. I was just wondering, why is part of the translation of the verse in parentheses?
Oh. Why part of the translation is in parentheses? Because it's not in the Sanskrit, but it's kind of explanation why Devaki requested Krishna to accept a human-like form. All right, Prabhu.
Thank you for a very nice presentation, Maharaj.
Thank you.
I have something in mind personally, but I want to ask you, what will require to harmonize this wonderful way to spread Krishna consciousness?
Direct and indirect preaching?
Direct and indirect, to harmonize and not to create frictions and fighting.
Yeah.
And this is what makes our society not growing up.
Mm.
So I just want to hear from you. I have my personal
answer,
but Can you please elaborate?
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. So yes, naturally there should be no fighting in our movement, and you know, New Dwaraka community is really wonderful example of that, because there are so many devotees and leaders, and somehow it seems to be Californian spirit, peace and love. And so devotees, they wonderfully live together and serve Krishna together, and even though there are so many different devotees, but they respect, everyone's respecting everyone's service and ways how to spread Krishna consciousness. And really, we meditate on the same first purpose of ISKCON, we can understand that, you know, it's not at all desirable, you know, this discord in the Vaishnava community, because first of all, what it does, it breaks the faith of junior devotees, and they think, oh, if senior devotees cannot, you know, get alone, if they cannot even like overcome their quarrelsome, you know, propensities, and they practice Krishna consciousness for so long, so what is my chance? I better don't even try, right? So it's very important to take into consideration. And of course, you know, some devotees may be correct in their you know, estimation or in their strategy how to spread Krishna consciousness, and other devotees can be mistaken. But if someone is very determined to do something, then, you know, one should be allowed to try. Like there is a very, there was a very interesting example in the early Christian history when there was a first report submitted to the Roman emperor that we have this new religion appearing. It's called Christianity, and something should be done about it. And the emperor said, no, we're not going to bother doing anything, trying to stop them. Because if this is fake religion, it will just disappear on its own. We don't even have to try to stop it. But if it is genuine, if really God is behind it, we will not be, be able to stop it even if we try. So what's the use of trying to stop them? So let them, you know, develop in their own way. So that's the, you know, I mean, probably he was not a devotee, but at least he had common sense. He had some intelligence to understand these things. And devotees, they're expected to understand these things, that if something is genuine, it will succeed no matter how much others will oppose. And if something is not genuine, it will fail anyway. Why oppose, right? Why bother opposing? And why create, you know, so many troubles and frictions in the society? And plus, you know, how can we give peace and unity to the whole world if we don't have peace and unity amongst ourselves? And but there is even better way to harmonize preaching efforts, and that is to combine both approaches. Like, for example, book distribution. Srila Prabhupada was happy when devotees were just distributing books, but he was much more happy when they were doing it in a systematic way, distributing in colleges and universities, because Prabhupada wanted these books to be read by intelligent people. He didn't just want books to go anywhere and everywhere. He wanted people to study these books, and naturally, students, teachers, professors are the best possible candidates to study Prabhupada's books like that. So it's just, you know, thinking about the quality of our preaching and as well as effectiveness of our strategies. And one devotee quite well known. His name is Parthasarathy Prabhu. He's from South Africa. And he used to be in the American Army for a while. And, you know, he was loved by everybody, but at some point he said, you know, I cannot stay with you. I have to retire from the army. And all his officers, all his superiors were saying, you know, what's wrong? How did we offend you? Why are you leaving us? They became attached because, you know, devotee is very attractive. And he said, well, I'm leaving you because you never took any care of my spiritual life. And they were saying, we are ready to do whatever you want. What do you mean? What do you need? He said, well, you know, like my scriptures, I'm Hindu, and my scripture is Bhagavad Gita. And in the military library, you don't even have one copy of Bhagavad Gita. You know, you never, you know, try to take spiritual care of me, so I'm leaving. And they said, wait, wait, we're going to get you Bhagavad Gita, just stay with us. And he said, I'm not alone. There are so many Hindu soldiers in American army. And what about them? You should take care of them. So he made them to purchase 50,000 copies of Bhagavad Gita. So this is called, you know, creativity used in Krishna consciousness. All right? Anyone else wants to say or ask anything? We're supposed to stop now. If someone has to go, it's fine. But if anyone has a question and wants to stay for 5 or 10 more minutes, yeah. Sachitana Brahma, can you please pass the microphone?
Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. Is there any plan for the Russian devotees to teach their like method to the international community?
Well, they could, but they've learned it from professional sources. And actually, you know, America is the country which, you know, introduced self-help personal development courses to the whole world. And so we are sitting right at the source of it. And if anyone wants to learn it professionally, there are so many opportunities to, you know, present them in a very... But, yeah, it requires to figure out the form. And actually, I don't believe that Russian approach would be effective in America. Because in America it requires, you know, like kind of a show, you know, something very impressive to catch people's attention. You know, someone has to be really dynamic and, you know, impressive speaker to attract people. All right? Can you please pass the microphone? These are our guests from London. Very successful preachers. They're just visiting us for a few days.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Prabhu is deaf, so he's using sign language, and the other Prabhu is his translator. But they preach very successfully in deaf community. Communities around the world. So that's also example of creativity in Krishna consciousness. Making all deaf people Krishna conscious. All right.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. You said that the course in Rasana is very successful. I feel very inspired to hear that.
Can you please speak a little louder?
Yes, okay.
I'm hard of hearing.
You say that the courses in Russia are very successful, and I feel really inspired hearing that. My question is the Russian government favorable with this kind of growing of Krishna consciousness in Russia?
Yeah, this is also a very interesting question, because now they're trying to pass the law which is meant to stop all kinds of direct preaching. And Russian devotees don't care because mostly they introduce people to Krishna consciousness through these self-help courses, and no one can stop education, you know, like teaching people something useful in their lives. And so Russian devotees will successfully continue preaching regardless of the any types of laws or restrictions imposed on religious activities. Could we pass the microphone to the lady here?
Thank you so much, Prabhu, for your lectures. I was curious, this has come up a few times, but I wonder if there's anything you've noticed very specifically on how we could best market Krishna consciousness here.
How?
How best to market it. Because we have the books, we have books printed, but is there any way that you notice an obvious improvement?
How to market Krishna consciousness in America in the best way? Yeah. Well, America being like, you know, Western country, first world country, probably could be successful in the same way as, for example, UK, because we can see that in Great Britain, Krishna consciousness reached the kind of heights which we can only dream of in here, right? That the Queen comes to the school, or Prime Minister of the country comes to the temple and saying Hare Krishna and placing garland on Srila Prabhupada and taking darshan of the deities and actually appreciating Srila Prabhupada's contribution in his speech, glorifying Srila Prabhupada. We can just imagine. We can just dream of something like that happening in here, that Obama comes here and glorifies Srila Prabhupada, for example. But how this became possible? Because one devotee took a responsibility upon himself to create an alliance with different Hindu communities in the country, and he created Hindu Forum of Britain. And because of that, suddenly, you know, because, you know, other Hindu groups, they told the devotees, well, your most dynamic group, your most dynamic organization, and you have very deep knowledge. So you become our representatives in the country. And suddenly, from like tiny little exotic religious group, devotees in UK became representatives of the entire Hindu community, which is, of course, not very big. Maybe it's between 3 or 5% of the population, but it consists of very successful professionals and business people who contribute greatly to the economy and you know, running of the country. And so that's why Hindus are highly appreciated on all the levels. And if someone represents Hinduism, we've got many, many opportunities in the country because of networking, because of of the alliance with other groups. And so I won't be speaking too much on the subject because on Sunday we're going to have a very special presentation which is on new ways of preaching Krishna consciousness, and so this will be one example how we can achieve this, the kind of the level of success Srila Prabhupada wanted us to achieve with Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. All right, thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande.